Morning, good afternoon, and good day to our Dad Timeout Show listeners around the world. Welcome to the Dad Timeout Show. We're just four kids with 12 dads between us, and we're all, oddly enough or not, working the entertainment industry. It's a place to put your feet up or down if you're exercising or driving or skateboarding or kite surfing, hiking, moonwalking, needlepointing, scrapbooking, gardening, refereeing, food shopping, or just basking in the sun, or anything like that. If you could like us, subscribe, or leave a review, we'd be forever grateful. And please follow us on the gram, Twitter, and Facebook. In tonight's show, of course, the dads kick off with a little catch-up, a little July chatter, and overall feelings about the month. Then they'll have their take on parent tweets of the week, dealing with getting old. And then in Smart Articles by Smart People, the dads will discuss an article from Fatherly called 12 Important Life Skills Dads Wish They Had Taught Their Kids When They Were Younger. And finally, they'll wrap up with a summertime pub quiz, a couple this or that, and then finally, things that make them smile. Speaking of things that make me smile on this lovely summer eve, what's your name, ma'am?
Lola.
Lola, and we always traditionally, as you know or may not know, we start the show off with a dad joke. Would you please deliver one this evening?
Yes. What do you call a song about a tortilla?
What do you call a song about a tortilla? It is Taco Tuesday. I have no idea. What is it?
A wrap.
That's a wrap. Very good, Lowells. Thank you very much. I'll let you get inside with your... There you go. All right. Coming up next, the dads are coming around the corner and the Dad Timeout Show will be on.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled, dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show.
All right, here come the dads around the corner. Hello, dads.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
I'm halfway done with my margarita.
Are you wasting away in Margaritaville?
It's sunny. We should paint the room. And this is our earliest show ever, maybe? T-shirts?
Oh, well, we're right in there.
The backyard studio keeps growing, though.
Yeah.
New accoutrement, you know?
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Sunshine. We're sunshine show.
Well, it is summer. Actually, this is summertime. We are tasting our first summer here in the Bay Area. While the poor rest of the nation is sweltering, we have been in the 60s and 70s, although I have not. I'm just returning from vacation.
In Sweden or something.
Yeah. So where did we see you guys last? I mean.
All together?
Oh, we did the show at Fieldworks. Sorry, Mark.
Yeah, I was in New York.
Remember we had Mark's cardboard cutout in the chair, yeah. And we all decorated him, which was very nice. It was thoughtful.
The sombrero was the nice touch, I thought.
Yeah, well, you know.
I'm always going for the sombrero.
Microbrewery, let it go.
Right.
So you went to New York, right? How was that?
New York was great. Saw shows, ran my 17-year-old around town on subways and had him actually navigate, so that was cool.
Dope.
Got over to Brooklyn. You know, just we were only there for a handful of days, so you try and nail all the important stuff, but it was a great trip. We had killer seats. We saw Wicked on Broadway, we had like sixth row seats. I can highly recommend seeing a Broadway show from that vantage point. Yeah. It was
big
miraculous.
Cheese.
Fancy.
Big cheese. Big apple. Front row. You know, New York.
Big city of dreams.
But everything in New York
ain't what it seems.
Might be fooled if you come from out of town.
You two go ahead.
But I'm down by law and I'm going to own my way around too much. Too many people. I'm sorry to do a disservice to Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. Well, Mark was in New York. I was in Europa. Ben, which you're now, we're going to high five and you're going to head out to Europe, to your motherland.
Nice.
Where are you going, Ben? Belgium?
We'll be based where we're always based, MK, and the Netherlands.
Netherlands. Is the Tour de France starting in the Netherlands?
I don't know.
Is the opening round in the Netherlands?
Dude, I don't know.
I know it's called the Tour de France. Trials.
Can you send me some howdah?
Yeah.
Some howdah?
Yeah, did. I'm just going to keep this short for the sake of the show. We were lucky enough to do Ireland. I was for Father's Day. at the Temple Bar in Dublin drinking Guinness.
That'll do. That's
like bucket list.
It was. Proper, man. I fell into a bucket list item. I really did not. It was pretty ridiculous. And it was very celebratory. And there were a lot of dads having Guinness and music just blaring out of every window.
I would
nestle
into a corner and wake up there in the morning.
It was lovely. It was in the Temple Bar district, and there's just buskers everywhere. And if there's not buskers singing, it's coming out of every bar, every pub for blocks and blocks and blocks. Anyways, very fun. And then we went to Sweden and stayed with some of our best friends in life. We've known them over 20-plus years, and we went to their wedding in Sweden. So we had kind of a wraparound on that. And then we went to Bruce Springsteen.
Wow. The boss.
In Sweden. And, Ben, I'm sure you can attest to this. European crowds
that's crazy.
Are off the chains when they're into something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's cute, really, really nerdy, like the way they rock.
But I even watched today, the 1975 were playing a festival, and the crowd just jumps the entire show. Yeah. And Springsteen, I mean, he just, whatever arm motion he did, the entire place went into the choruses and all that stuff. And then we finished in the hearty land of Scotland.
Wow.
Which,
amazing.
I know the biggies are like Spain and Paris and all that, but I'm telling you, Scotland, we got up into the Highlands.
Love it.
Oh, yeah.
The bogs.
Yes. Yeah. Cozy little cottages. It really is what best. You see.
No, I love the accent.
Yeah, you know? Scottish were great. Accent.
I need a lot of that right now.
Guttles.
So anyway, I apologize for the postcards from paradise to our listeners, but we did. Amazing. We had a show in the off season, which was 2 weeks. Melissa Jacobs came on. Mm-hmm. Got a lot of feedback about that show, and she's very upfront about her dealings with sports. And her kids are in travel ball. Her kids are, you know, on the year-round type of squads. But she's a good writer, and she kind of breaks it down on her Substack, Good Game, which is she kind of we had a waffle back and forth, but it was a very even-keeled conversation. There was not really opinions, but a lot of people were weighing in on it. So that's kind of fun, so check that out. But we are back, the force, the four of us.
Boom. Nice.
Back in the house on a sunny afternoon. Speaking of that, I want to give a couple shouts out before we head down the line. By the way, big kind of cool news. One of my heroes checked in on our Instagram, Timothy Shriver, who is the head of the Special Olympics among many things in his life.
Wow.
His sister Maria Shriver, obviously, and Eunice Shriver's his mother, and Sergeant Shriver, and the That's Kennedys, right. and all that stuff. But anyway, he was in Berlin and he gave this fabulous speech. At Special Olympics, and we were kind of ping-ponged back and forth. I thought, oh, my gosh, that was kind of cool. So we also want to say shout-out to Julia Ludwig Wellness. Hello, Surviving Mom Blog, Randy, Maggie McDonald Malik, Fatherhood Reloaded, Ben Kaloy, the dad coach, Blended Family Dad, Sonia Bada, the Essential Calendar, H2 Rules Sports Dad, Super Awesome Dadding, and DPL College Counseling, rounded out by Funkel. I'd love to be known as a Funkel someday.
I hope I'm
Funkles.
Funkel?
Man, that's like so Funkel. Cool.
Right, so those are all the folks that we've been interacted with on the social medias. Feel free to follow us on the gram, Twitter, or Facebook, and the website's coming soon. Phase one has now taken place.
Exciting.
A designer has been chosen.
You're welcome.
Okay, so coming up next, Parent Tweets of the Week.
Time now for the Tweets of the Week. Tweet.
All right, it's time for Parent Tweets of the Week, and we're going to roll right through these. They're kind of arbitrary, as is our drink of the evening.
Margarita.
No. How's this arbitrary? This is on the
It's really
nose,
good though, right?
It's right on point. It's
are we gonna go for tacos tonight, the three of us?
Home,
I know Ben's gotta hustle back. Yeah. All right, we're gonna make our listeners hungry. All right.
Pericos.
This has to do with aging, the beautiful process of getting older, but these are parent tweets about aging.
Boo.
Or not parents, who knows? it's from the Iron Shirk.
Ooh.
Not cheap.
Camel clutch.
The Iron Shirk. Fabulous documentary on A&E right now, by the way. If you've ever wondered if you're getting old, ask yourself this question. Have you ever bought expensive cheeses? Therein lies the answer.
What?
Disagree.
What?
Disagree.
Come on.
I never
now.
Bought expensive Sorry. Cheese as a kid. You know, it's an acquired kid, thing where you're like, ooh, okay, 30 well, bucks for a hunk of
30.
Camembert or whatever.
What?
Well, he's from
the
Holland.
Move on. There's too much disparity here. It's
Wait, did you eat expensive cheese as a child, Ben?
Not as a child, but I mean, I always appreciated. You know,
I
tear up in college.
I would say once you realize good cheese, it changes.
Then
it's a game changer.
Greasy craft crap is like once you go, can't go back.
Why are you always picking on the USA? First it's bread,
now
it's cheese.
Kraft Singles are delicious. Sorry.
Have you ever had a Kraft Singles grilled cheese?
Right out of the can.
Gosh.
Oh,
yeah,
come on now.
Double thumbs up for that, man. Dude,
I'm all about connoisseur cheese, but Kraft Singles on a grilled cheese.
Can't beat it.
TDF to yeah. die for.
TDF. And some Campbell's tomato soup?
No.
Mm. Oh, yes. The wintertime favorite.
Wow.
He grew up in the desert. He doesn't understand.
Clearly.
All right. This is from one of my favorite new Twitter accounts. By the way, I'm on Threads now. I'm already doing the Threads. Our show's going to be on the Threads
Pioneer.
Also. Yeah, I'm in there with the other 100 million. This is from @LostFelicia. This solves up my life. I don't know about yours. My brain function. 75% song lyrics and movie quotes, 24% random stuff from 20 years ago. This is our podcast in a nutshell.
Yeah,
0.05, what I ate for breakfast yesterday. 0.05, huh? When I read that today, I thought, oh, that's when we go on our rants on our podcast. It's exactly 100% what it is. And then DL Sloan, 1932012, as a follow-up, I'm often thinking how I can get a movie quote in response to this question I've been asked.
Mm.
I don't do that much. Yeah. But I know people that do that all the time.
They just live.
Or on text chains, they'll send you the YouTube clip of the thing.
I like to make those obscure pulls, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always thinking of the... Oh, what's the movie reference that I can pull out of Shawshank Redemption? Oh, yeah.
But I've gotten to lean on the same ones. And then, like, if somebody in the area gets it,
yeah,
you're right in line. Like, one of my favorite ones, 220, 221, whatever it takes, from The Great Mr. Mom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. See? So if we're indecisive about dinner, I'm like, 220, 221, whatever it takes.
That's pretty obscure, though.
Yeah. Nice. You know, life moves pretty fast if you don't stop looking around every once in a while.
That's right, Ferris.
Ferris Bueller's.
Bye. All right, this is from @MissyK, MissekAy. Hey, guys, remember when you could still refer to your knees as right and left instead of good and bad? Good times. How about you, Ben, football player?
I know.
Oh, yeah, knee stuff, elbow stuff, wrist stuff, shoulder, everything stuff, a lot of stuff. Still have a right and left. Yeah.
Are you ever going to get your knees redone?
My left knee is starting to protest pretty hard.
Yeah.
It won't be long.
I named mine Squeaky and and Ouchie.
Oh,
Squeaky and Ouchie.
Squeaky and
Ouchie. You made
ouchie.
That up.
You say good morning to them?
Hey, Ouchie. Oh, there you go.
If we only did video, that was amazing.
Right.
Squeaky and Ouchie. Mark's quiet over there. He's getting his little Casper legs all tanned up.
He looks like Ferris Bueller right now.
He does look like Ferris.
No, my knees feel good.
Just got to keep moving. I think I'm convinced that's the secret.
Knees feel
if you want to bring that home, I think you just got to keep moving.
It only hurt when I'm sitting for too long in one position. Then you get that achy thing. Otherwise, it's all right.
I got to tell you something. I don't know if I brought this up. Oh, by the way, it was Amazon Prime Day today. We got to break that down a little bit.
Let me tell you.
You bought a mattress. I digress. Speaking of mattress, this is from @NoahsArk20. I guess the first 19 Noah's Arks were already taken. Petition to start all parties at 7:30 this year so I can be in bed by 10:45.
It's embarrassing, but true, you know.
She's 7:30. I'm like 6:30.
10:30 is my done.
It's the witching hour.
Yeah.
I used to be the insomniac, you know, like it would be 3:30. All right, let's go get pancakes, you know, and now it's like literally like 10:02. And then like, you know, it starts getting a little.
Yeah.
10:30, 11 is like max.
Yeah.
Beyond that, it's
my
like,
wife's
what am
good
I doing?
Enough. And I kind of worked it into a routine where she will put the kids to the final bed. now they're not kids anymore. They're all kind of self-maintained. But she will do the final follow-up. Because once I have this gravity blanket. I'm not even going to go into detail, but
weighted blankets are great.
Oh, weighted blanket.
Oh, yeah. It's super tuck-in, man.
Really?
And when I, especially when I ride later in the day and I get under that thing, I am like,
that's so gone. You though.
I can't sleep completely under it because I get too hot.
It is.
But I am
him and his candles.
And a book. A
pin me down. Give me a book and a candle.
I'm reading Rick Rubin's book right now, which is fantastic. But yeah, I agree with Noah's Ark. But then conversely, on the wife side of things, and this is another fantastic Twitter account to follow, at DadmanWalking.
Yeah.
What I mean when I say I'm going to bed, I sleep. What my wife means when she says she's going to bed, bakes two cakes, does yoga, takes a shower, watches 5 hours of TikToks, maybe sleeps, forgets to change her phone for the next day. But that's what we're just talking about. My wife will... She has the energy to keep. I don't know how she does it, to be honest. Like, my wife will. I'm getting up almost equal with her these days in that race. But she's usually ahead because we have this quirky rule, too. Who's ever last out of the bed has to make it.
Ooh, okay.
So I'm always trying to get that 2 minutes ahead of time just so I don't have to make it. And it's really lazy because all it is a giant comforter. Yeah. I just shake it out like I would be in a Swiss field, you know, chasing sheep. And then you just throw
there was a Swiss field.
Yeah.
Chasing sheep.
You know, you just throw these big pillows. But anyway, my wife's full credit there. She's
incredible
a beast
correlation to how much alcohol and coffee I drink. I'm telling you, if I cut it out, it's discouraging how much more energy. It's awful because I'm like, oh man, it's really the problem. If I don't drink for 2 days, 3 days, I feel so much better.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. That's been such proven over history.
I know, but I keep trying.
Thanks for verifying for everybody in 2023. Like,
I'm just reaffirming 2023.
Well, I thought that rule went away, and then Ben just told me it really works the other day. Like,
miraculous.
Just cut out drinking, you'll feel better.
It's miraculous.
guys,
listen to this.
I got a break.
I got it. Guess what? I learned this.
I had one coffee today and nothing else, and I feel like $1 million. All right, we're going to go to at Sharnlist. stupid. One way to find out if you're old is to fall down in front of a group of people. If they laugh, they're young. If they panic, you're old.
I love it.
So yes. I just fell off my skateboard in front of this elderly lady. I was coming home from the thing, and she freaked out. Are you okay? And all of the snacks that I had stolen from my office had all fallen out of my bag. And then I had to go to the emergency room the next day. I thought I was cool. And then the next morning,
it was my ribs.
It was hurting while I laughed.
You see me rubbing my wrist right now? That's from falling on my skateboard.
Yeah.
It's.
Let's just take another life lesson. When you're older, like you two gentlemen, skateboards are probably not the best idea.
It's the greatest idea. That's how you
should probably cool it. But, man, it's so hard to walk.
I'm just going
to
wear the wrist guards, no matter how nerdy it is.
Shake out your T-Dog Town early days of going to 7-Eleven and getting Skateboarder Magazine.
Dog Town.
Rasher.
Getting your slurp. By today, another side note, today was National Slurpee Day.
Oh, I know. I had to wait in line with my kids.
Isn't it free? Right now? Let's hurry up and wrap it up.
No, it's done at 7.
No.
It's 11.
Not 11?
They inverted it to
My place had at least 30 people in line.
Wow.
And we were down to 1.5 flavors.
Oh, man. Like, I don't know how they keep it going.
The one kept working. It was the cherry crap. And then the blue one that I wanted like coming out like slow serve ice cream, but even like frozen. Yeah, it was a disaster.
I got a quick story. I walked out. We waited for like 20 minutes, and we got our smalls. And I walked out, and there was a homeless guy outside of 7-Eleven. He goes, "Can I have your Slurpee?"
Oh, no.
And I'm like, yeah. So I gave it to him fresh before I even took a sip. It's okay, but my daughter, she burst into tears.
Oh, like, that's so
sweet. She's like, you wanted it so bad. I'm like, but Daisy, he needed more. And they won't
let
him in.
What a great lesson. That's one of the, that's from the smart articles.
Right? Yeah, that was big.
That's a good one.
It was a big moment. And I'm not trying to sound like a great guy, but it was really
good. But you are
moment.
A great guy. It was a nice move.
Yeah, they wouldn't have let him in there. And Daisy was like, she was crying. She's like,
they wouldn't let him in there.
We'll get another one.
But what flavor was it?
Cherry cola every time.
Oh,
mix it up.
The Phoenix in Alameda.
It's next door
right
to
by
7-11.
The 7-11.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah. My business is next door.
Yeah, you're probably peeping it all day.
Kept wearing different hats, walking in with the beard.
This is my 15th today.
That cup looks familiar, sir. Yeah. So I have to continue on. I had two wonderful Indian guys that own our 7-11, and they literally are so funny. I go in there all the time. And they saw me, and they still have the glass partitions up, whether it's either burglary or post-COVID. They just haven't taken them down. But he had a cardboard box filled with the small cups with the lids already on them.
Oh, yeah.
And he was just hucking them over to people in line.
That's awesome.
As they were coming in. He's like, when I'm out, I'm out. Like, there's nothing else I can do. Anyway, it was comedy. But, yeah, my daughter, the one the dad joke, and I went today and got him. Ben, you'll appreciate this. At Funny One Liners, I'm so old I can remember going through a whole day without taking a picture of anything. Mm. Oh, those days!
You actually had to have a camera to take a picture,
and the need or desire to develop it.
Oh, and you go to PhotoMat.
PhotoMat, drop it off.
That drive through. Hour, the wait.
And those guys could know all your pictures.
Do you go home or do you wait the 1 hour?
Do you remember the roulette? Take like 30 pictures at a concert and you'd literally get one.
Oh, yeah.
That might work.
Well.
And there was no cropping. There was no filters. There was, let me guess, Ben was in a dark room, you know, with 70 triple exposed.
I had the disposable little
I rolled my own film from high school.
Oh my god! I did that in high school too.
What? Oh, rolled geez. Your own?
High school was a whole different.
I rolled
trend.
Way cheaper.
You know, we rolled our own film back then.
When you have access to a dark room, it changes everything.
After Little House in the Prairie, we all went into the dark room.
How'd you know?
And then at night, we'd watch Three's Company until we fell asleep.
First, we get the developer ready in one bucket.
Oh, right? That Jack Ritter was a funny one. All right, these are our final two. They're not necessarily funny, but I like them to finish it. And one is called at Andy quote, the art of living is knowing who to ignore.
I like that.
Yeah.
My wife and I have had lengthy conversations about this, and we feel that with the amount of time left on this planet, it was really not worth spending time with people that you weren't going to.
Or in just engaging people that make you angry.
Well, there's socialization, right? There's general conversation. There's fun. There's events. There's meetings. There's this. There's that. But when it comes to pure quality time, like spending a night with Joni and Tim from down the block, we don't have a Joni and Tim down the block.
Yes, you do.
But if we didn't really work the first time, we're not going to pursue the second time.
I hear that. I thought you meant more in the context of like, you know, the local things that we interact with every day. There's so many things that we interact with, like that we disagree with people, whether it be school or politics or work or whatever.
No, he's talking about his people. When you've got downtime, you want to be with your people.
And I'm thinking more like I don't want to engage people that make me angry.
There's a lot of noise.
Yeah, like social media would be the crux of it. But
tune
like,
it
but,
out.
Yeah, like or posting and yeah, whatever. But I like it from my sense. Like I get angry a lot at things. You know, like but just don't engage.
You do get angry a lot.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time angry. It's unfortunate.
You're not angry.
At least you're open about it. I'm very angry. If I could take a picture of you guys in your sunglasses right now.
Yeah, we're looking good.
All right, and this is finally from my new best friend, at Lost Felicia, and I can adhere to this, and I'll tell you why. Life is short. Go ahead and buy the concert tickets.
Sure.
So, you know, Harbs and I saw each other at The Cure, which was very exciting. Then I recently did The Boss in the Sweden. Guess what I just got tickets to?
Tay-Tay.
The Swiss.
Wow.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, not here, though. Not in my home stadium where I work, where I've been for a decade. I have to go to Los Angeles.
Oh.
Yeah, I just had a little thing and thing.
Just had to
thing.
Do it.
Yeah, I got to do it.
Pull the trigger.
Going back to Las Felicia, life is short.
Heck yeah.
Go ahead and buy the concert tickets.
Well, yeah, I mean, we bought tickets to go see Tears for Fears in Wheatland because my 8-year-old felt left out. He hasn't been to a concert, and his favorite band right now seems to be Tears for Fears.
You know, Mark, everybody wants to rule the world.
You're very right about that. So we bought tickets, and we're all going to go and spend the night and see a show as a family.
So did he shout, and he let it all out?
He did, and that's how we knew that he wanted to go see the show.
I could do without.
Do without Tears for Fears?
Do without?
These are the things.
Oh, okay. All right.
Come on, follow me. There it is.
I'm trying.
I take Jim Kerr and Simple Minds.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Rod Stewart's coming with Cheap Trick?
Oh, no.
Not to throw up, because I see younger, too. Like, we're going to go see Pink. We're going to go see Sanchez. Steven Sanchez is one of my new favorites. Luna is another band that I love. So we're seeing all the small theater stuff, too. But then when you realize, like, at our ages, that these cats may be only going out one or two more times. And if you want that live experience, like, get it while you can get it. All right. So coming up next is Smart Articles by Smart People, 12 important life skills their dads wish they taught their kids sooner.
Smart Articles by Smart People.
All right, this article is from Fatherly, and the author is, drumroll, Matt Christensen. I always like to give credit to the authors of the articles. There's always much more to teach. He outlines in his way 12 important life skills dads wish they taught their kids sooner. I think we could go through them pretty quickly and kind of have a self-realization about it. Or, you know, improvement. Like, oh, am I missing that boat? And you know, or do you think it's even relevant? So I'll just go through the list. But he says, how to square up, quote unquote, failure, how to use tools properly, how to take care of your home. When we asked a group of dads about the life school they wish they had taught their kids sooner, the answers revealed a simple truth. There's always more to teach. And looking back, some of the things that are most useful are the ones we may not think to focus on until we see how useful it would have been. From the obvious, teaching more financial literacy, to the aspirational, culting an appreciation for exercise at an early age, to the, oh, damn, I wish I demonstrated that better, how to forgive someone. Here are the life schools that these men wish they had taught their kids sooner. Now, again, this is going all over the country. It seems like a straw poll and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. How to make exercise a big part of your life.
Are these, like, number one would be, like,
that? I don't think they're ranked, as an importance. I think they're just basically responses to his query about...
Yeah, they got a whole bunch of guys to basically say what was the one thing they wished that they had maybe focused more on, like if they could pick one thing. And,
right.
And so this is sort of a list of those things, which obviously gets you thinking about what you
know. So this guy's thing says exercise. Are you guys good, bad, medium?
I mean, it's a big focus for us. Like, because I see how they are in the evening. If they come home sweaty and red-faced, they're so much more pleasant. Kids got to move, man. Mm-hmm. So it's huge for us, and we emphasize it a lot.
For us, I feel like it's such a sedentary lifestyle that we're headed towards, and everywhere you look, you see, like, there's not a lot of movement, and so definitely I think that it's really more important now as...
Never.
Yeah, to, like, encourage that and model it, right? And it's also good for you, right?
Your voice sounds so pleasant right now. Hey.
I'm about to take a sleep story.
I find, too, that, like, when we even take a walk, even if it's around the block after dinner and they walk the dog or whatever, I'm better comfortable. That's just walking. You know, I'm not pushing calisthenics. My son and I are having a little battle right now about who can do more push-ups and stuff like that, which he can easily cream me, obviously. But, you know, could get better at it, but I do think it's important. All right, number two, how to take good care of your home. I was raised not even know how to fold my clothes or boil water. My life got completely destroyed. My mom passed away when I was 19 years old. I had no knowledge how to take care of the home my parents worked so hard to give me. Mm. I think we're okay there.
Yeah, it's definitely how you grow up, right? Like, and you can unlearn it, but I think, like, smashing two people together and how they grew up is hard. Like when you get married and you're like, or even live with someone, you're like, hold on. this isn't how you do that. You don't leave the dishes in the sink until it's full and then put it in. You know what I mean? Yeah. But for me, I think the biggest thing that we find is like, hey, clean needs to be the default because if it's not, it's chaos. Like with three kids, so let's agree that clean needs to be the default. Although my dear wife, who has many talents, one of them is not tidiness.
I think, as I've said many times before, the key is making my kids good roommates, because there's going to come a point where they're not going to live with me, and I don't want them to be that person who leaves their dishes in the sink or leaves their clothes in the washer or does X, Y, and Z. So I'm trying to get my kids literate and capable to at least make a few meals and be able to understand. You know, when it's hard to get them out of the house to, like, look at what I'm doing if I'm trying to do any minor repairs. I don't do major repairs in the house, but when I do something that is more advanced, it's really hard to get them out of the house to, like,
they're like, what do you mean, like, call TaskRabbit?
No. I actually do. I do things.
He does things.
You know, my wife and I both do things.
Type in TaskRabbit. No, I need roofing.
No. Well, and there's times we even ask the question, talking about, like, the exercise part. The kids ask the question, why are we doing this? Why aren't we hiring it out? Well, it's because people do jobs around their own house.
All right, well, this quote was good. If you cannot take care of the place where you live and sleep and eat, then you cannot take care of many important things.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Like that. All right, in the interest of time, let's move on. How to forgive someone. Carrying the emotional weight of a grudge slows our ability to truly grow.
Kind of rough. It's hard. We're a grudge holder family.
We're not. I will give us credit on that one. And apologies are frequent in our house, even when I'm not going to point the finger at anybody, but
pointed your finger, though.
When my clothes were thrown in with the dog's clothes, the dog's blanket, there was a little skirmish around that, but then now it's resolved. And forget now it. We've moved on fast, and that's it. Awesome. We're done. You guys, Chris, you seem to have a little bit of...
We're working on it. Hurdle. Let's put it that way. We're trying.
That's one of the things I'm better at. I personally forgive very easily because I hate get over it. My wife is, you know, like a little slower with all that. But I think teaching the kids that, I don't know. I guess modeling it is going to be the biggest thing, right? Like teaching them, like.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go.
My mom made my twin brother and sister, when they had a fight, they touched noses after a fight.
Kiss?
Their noses.
Wait, is that even politically correct?
Sure. And so they couldn't do it without giggling. So there's a little tip if you got kids like
that's pretty funny.
I made my girls do it for years. It was hard to get them to do, but they couldn't do it without giggling. And
we used to do hugs, like. Come here into the kitchen, both of you.
Hug.
And they would they'd hate it. They'd do the floppy arms, and then they'd start laughing.
Yeah,
it's a good method.
Some tricks, man, little tricks.
I'm going to try that. We do the go in each other's room and just stew on it until it just blows up.
Sounds good.
I thought you were going to say trash. We go into each other's room and trash each other's rooms. again, that's emulated behavior, I believe. The parents have to take the first push at that. Mark, you were silent.
I think there's degrees of forgiveness, and I think within the household, forgiveness has to be quick and easy. I think that when you're dealing with deeper family issues,
so many, every day.
Then you're dealing with different levels of forgiveness as it relates to circumstances.
Sure.
However, I agree with what Ben was saying in terms of within our house, like whether it's the floppy arm hug, we don't do the nose thing. I think that's cute. Just trying to find a way to like bring people together and solve that. In-house stuff is
don't
always
just let it, don't
no, 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 no. We don't ever go to bed angry in our house. We can't do it.
We go to bed
miffed, slightly
perturbed,
slightly perturbed.
But it always blows over fast. How to manage finances? I think we've all been over this in another episode, so I'm going to skip that one. But financial literacy is obviously important. Yeah. Our kids have green light cards, so all that's controlled. They get allowances. Blah blah blah. How to square up failure. That's a good one. I recreated the concept of squaring up failure. So much time I look at failure as negative. And it shouldn't be. I fear that throughout my daughter's life, I made failure out to be negative without emphasizing the learning that comes when you square it up. It could be through a painful review process or even through forgiveness. Because failure is often a direct result by having taken a risk. I think it's pretty solid advice right there.
I like the terminology of squaring up, the math terminology. I thought that was really well put. And to that point, I think that as I've gotten older, I'm a lot more vulnerable about my mistakes with my kids. And when I screw something up or I make a mistake, even if it's out of their purview, I try and just talk it out so that they realize that, you know, we all go through stuff.
Normal, right?
Well, like, yeah,
failure is normal.
Like, absolutely, like, absolutely, it is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, ours is you know, one of our mantras is just like, fall off the horse, get back on. Like, yeah, dust yourself off. Today, yeah, sucked. Let's get after it tomorrow.
Yeah, and not colluding, but also coddling it. Oh, baby, I'm sorry. It's like, you're all right, get up. Like when your son, yeah, falls, he's going to cry if you coddle, or he's going to pop up if you go, get up.
There's an empathetic angle to that, but also, man, I do believe that.
I'm just kidding.
You got to keep. I know.
I think when you're sharing, though,
Dutchman.
When you're sharing your own stuff, though, it makes it easier for them to listen to that kind of criticism. Like, right, hey, you know, get up. I got up. You get up.
Well, it's kind of cliched, but, like, you know, like trying to make it a negative into a positive, I do feel like, especially like with sports or like when you make a mistake, that there is a learning part to it. So, like, when something doesn't go right, like, oh, now I know not to do it that way, or hey, this didn't work out in my favor, so let me try something different next time. I feel like if you try hard enough, that you can kind of find that, you know, flip it into the positive, turn that frown upside down kind of thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think the more like push-ups, the more you do, the better you become at it.
Totally.
I failed more times than I can count, but I keep going, especially in my industry.
That's why you're so
awesome.
I've
gotten kicked to the curb so many times. But I discuss that. I'm like, hey, I didn't get this job with this team. Six teams I didn't get a job with until I finally got a job with a team.
Yeah.
All right, so how to use tools. This is where my wife comes in. I'm not a tool guy. I am a TaskRabbit guy.
So this one for me, I grew up, my dad owned a hardware store, like, our whole life. So growing up, like, he was like the Tom Cunningham, like the hardware store. And so I was very familiarized with tools at a young age. So, like, building things and fixing things, a socket wrench and Allen wrench, and knowing the difference between a plumb bob and a, you know, all that.
Yeah.
So I'm on it.
Yeah, I think also just, like, letting them do it. If I'm sitting there, right, doing something with my son, say, here, like, inside, no, let me do it. Like, just let him do it.
Yeah, you I know? Agree.
Yeah.
But it is amazing to see how, like, there are tools for every task. And when you have them kind of see that there is that correlation that they make, and that you just need to kind of, yeah, figure out, mm-hmm, what tool goes with what, and then you can actually fix that kind of thing. It's, like, pretty amazing to see that light bulb moment go off where it's like, oh, I'm supposed to turn this, and this does come undone and all that stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I hear you. We could do better. I don't I'm definitely more in that zone when it comes to cooking.
Yeah.
When it comes to fending for yourself in the kitchen, when it comes to organizing.
It's kind of the same thing, though. It's that spirit of, like, hey, I can do this. Yeah. I don't have to go to a restaurant.
Right.
I could make that kind of thing. Or I could take this, you know, dryer apart, and look, it's just pieces, and I could fix this, too.
All roads lead to creating independent people.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Well, not being afraid to take something on. Like, I repaired my wash machine one time. That was a big deal for me.
Pretty big deal.
Because I grew up with a dad who didn't do stuff. He hired it all out. So I had to learn how to do this stuff, and now I probably am a 50-50 guy, 50-50, you know, hiring it out versus doing it. But, you know, I try and get my kids to watch me when I am doing it, because it might be a rare occurrence to see dad with a screwdriver.
I mean, I think there's some important things that are factored into life. Changing a flat tire, you know, hanging a picture, you know, things like that. Anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. I was just thinking out loud. of what I'm failing at. All right, number 7, super important. I still say this in life. When I was younger, I think I was a teenager, I got a book, Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
I remember that one.
Yeah.
I didn't read it.
Yeah, I think I read it in high school. And one of the keys in his book is get people to talk about themselves, because you'll make a friend because people love to talk about themselves. They love to talk.
Oh my God.
So number 7 in this one is how to listen. And I think that is so important, because we talked about friends that talk over you. And, like, you're not having a conversation. It's all one way. It's all stories. It's all – do you have that? Do you teach your kids that?
You can't learn anything when you're talking. That old one. You ever heard that one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But it makes sense, right?
And I just, when you said that book title, I'm like, hold on, how do I know that? And it's what my dad would say to me when I was being an arse. He was like, Ben Winter, like, How to Win Friends and Influence People by Ben Winter. Anyway, haha. Me and Dale.
No, I listen, I think, and I could do better, but it's a point where my teenage daughter will actually shush me now.
Okay.
She'll be like, Dad,
that's tough. I get that sometimes.
Like, don't launch into your thing. Let me tell you my thing. And I'm learning now, like, to listen to them more, too.
Getting shushed is tough, but there's a reason they're doing it.
Oh, 100%, because they have points they want to convey. This is, I mean, really true. Listen, my kids are almost legal adults, and I see them tune out a lot when they're being spoken to by their mother or siblings or anything else. I don't mean they're not rolling their eyes. I mean someone's sharing something with them that they asked about, and their eyes glaze, so they turn their attention to their phone. It's really important to learn how to listen intently and take in what someone is saying. In personal relationships, at work, in the world in general, I wish I spent more time practicing that skill with them. If you're not listening, you're not learning. And you're not able to help if someone is sharing something painful or important. That's a really good one. I'll take that one to the bank. Number 8, how to thoughtfully express your feelings. I'm proud where my kids are with their emotional IQs, but I wish I'd done more sooner with regard to encouraging them to express themselves. I grew up in an environment uncomfortable with emotions, and I still struggle to express and be in the moment. I give credit to my wife. This is not me speaking. It's the article. I give credit to my wife for encouraging our kids to speak openly about their feelings. And while I've said those words too, I realized that I wasn't necessarily setting an example in my behavior. We've had to coach our kids to be genuine in their feelings, blah, blah, blah.
I think that's really good because that hits a chord with me because as soon as my kids tell me something, I feel like, oh, I got to come with this big, important lesson. And something my wife taught me, she said, just ask them how they feel. How does that make you feel? Like, like Josie told me something the other day, my 11-year-old. And instead of going, oh, yeah, that's because, and getting all philosophical with her, I was just like, how'd that make you feel, Joe? Mm. Like, so I think the point is we need to prompt it. That's the best practical application of that point is I think we need to prompt it for me, I'm bad at it. So I was like, easy thing I can do is just saying, how does that make you feel?
No, it's, right? That's great. It's a good nugget. I'm just going to keep going forward. Number 9 is how to adapt. And again, I think this kind of rolls back into the other one. I have 3 boys in number 1 school. I wish I taught them sooner as adaptability changes occurring at a faster and faster rate. So young adults need to foster better resilience and flexibility in order to adapt what life throws at them.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good one. I agree with that. I maintain a flexible and adaptable mindset. I see a big lack of adaptability in many adults today. So teaching such a skill to my kids earlier would have set them up for success. I think we're doing okay there. Number 10, this is important, I think, how to develop a strong work ethic. I wish I had spent more time developing my kids' work ethic. I have 3 children who are now adults. I look back in their early years, I spent lots of time with them playing, building snowmen, watching Barney, going to birthday parties, blah, blah, blah. But I do wish I had spent more time developing their working skills. Mm-hmm. Value of hard work, especially in today's world of entertainment, leisure, and screens. More time and work ethic would include church hearts, walking, blah, blah, blah. I think we've discussed this before. We're all pretty good at that. How to prioritize substance over style. Interesting. What lies beneath the surface is infinitely more than how things appear externally. That's very hard to tell, teenager.
Well, we're all pretty substance over style guys, I think. We're all comfort over fashion, I would imagine, you know.
Speak for yourself.
Oh, yeah, you're pretty.
Yeah, I'm pretty stylish.
Pretty stylish.
That's a tough one. I mean,
Ferris Bueller over there, you know.
Me and my leather chucks.
Yeah, look at it. He got his sunburn on his knee.
This is being back here for 30 minutes.
Substance over appearance. I mean, I think that's something you're going to try to do, but ultimately, adolescents are going to want the thing, and the teenagers are going to want the thing. Right, even if it's the anti thing, it's still a thing, right? So I don't know unless
you can teach them. I mean, like if you're talking about clothes or other things. I mean, if you're talking about people and that thing, that's a whole another animal. But I think I've gotten my kids to we've looked at expensive clothes. Like my son, we were in New York, we're running around looking at things, and you know, he wants to buy an $80, you know, tank top. I'm just like, you know, you need to think that through, my friend. And so, you know, you start looking at substance first. Like you can get how many shirts for $80?
Well, parents out there, let me give you some good news. What I see trending is thrifting.
Yeah. Good.
And sustainability and second wear clothes.
Great.
And now, it's a fun thing for them to do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, ours love it. They love it. In fact, they'll suss out the thrifting stores in the places rather than going to the, you know, the mall, per se.
Something great, my wife, and I don't know if this is a Dutch thing, but it's something my wife grew up with. They don't, when she was 13 and my daughter just turned 13, they stopped buying her anything, any clothes at all. Instead, we give her $50 a month. You can do whatever you want. You want those shoes? You save 2 months. You want, so we will not buy her socks or underwear. She has to learn. She gets $50 a month, and you get to buy your own clothes.
I don't know if I can pull that one off.
I don't know. We're going to try it.
Report back to us from now. Cool.
3 months in.
We'll I got see. No socks, but I got Yeezys.
She loves it. Well, Jesus in the
past. I got these Yeezy slides and no underwear for the
underwear.
I got the Yeezys on sale.
You got to go down the thrift store and, you know, you got, maybe you have to go get a job. Make, you know, whatever. I don't know. Teaches budgeting. Teaches.
When is this going to affect?
3 months ago. We're 3 months in.
See how that goes. That's awesome.
I like the concept.
So far, so good.
The concept is delightful.
I love it. Love
do it, dude. Just try it.
No.
No? Okay.
Moving on. I've got a thrifter.
Yeah.
And she's conscious about money, too. She will not. She'll be like, oh, that's too much. Like, I would never do that. Retro stuff is actually oddly expensive, too.
Ooh.
Anyway, but that's a whole other topic. All right. So, finally, how to set boundaries. This does not only relate to kids' interactions with others, but with their own time and commitment. In a world where we are constantly connected and demands on our time are ever increasing, the ability to say no and protect personal time and space is invaluable. I realized the importance of the skill when I noticed my children struggling to balance school, hobby, social. They were overcommitting themselves and feeling stressed. I wish I had introduced the concept of setting boundaries. It's interesting.
Sure. Of course. Big one.
I mean, it's kind of like, duh. I don't want to, I was just going to say that. It's kind of like, duh. Yeah. Chris keeps making the odd face over.
Well, no, I mean, I don't do it intentionally, but I think I do it by making sure that they know that, okay, after work, after dinner, there's a period of time when this is daddy time. Do not bother me. I'm going to veg out. I'm going to watch some type of dumb TV show. And I'm just going to, like, you know, sit on the sofa and, you know, eat some, like, bad food snacks.
Some me time.
Yeah.
I have exactly. That. And not be on social.
How's that going for you, Ben?
Doesn't ever happen.
Mine doesn't work for me either.
So you're going from one bed to the other till you're tired.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was, you know, that's a good block of information to consume. I agree with almost all of them. I could get better at some of them. But we're all juggling so many balls in the air. We just try to do our best and learn in between. All right. So coming up next is our the best summertime trivia questions and answers. I'll give you 10 of them from the great website, The Pioneer Woman, coming up next.
It's quiz time. Palette quiz. Quiz, 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 quiz.
All right, here we go. Question number one. We're going to go on a speed dial since Ben's got a... You got softball tonight?
Oh, yeah. I got 3 softball games.
Oh, tonight. My gosh. Go. Triple header. Yeah. Okay. In line with baseball's All-Star game, which is on right now. The Pioneer Woman. What are the 3 zodiac signs of summer? Cancer, Leo, and Virgo, or Gemini, Cancer, and Leo?
Gemini, Cancer, Leo.
I'm going with Mark. I don't know,
sounds
dude.
Sounds good.
Correct answer. Cancer, Leo, and Virgo.
Virgo.
That wasn't an option you gave me.
Fail. All right, number 2, which summer seafood is now a delicacy but once considered a poor man's protein?
Lobster.
Mussels or lobster?
Lobster. Mussels. No, lobster, they used to feed it to prisoners in Maine.
Okay.
That is 100% correct. Yeah. I read that recently as well. Lobster is the correct answer. Oh
my gosh.
Number 3, in what country did fireworks originate? China. Or Britain?
Ooh. China. Oh, I mean, it's could
China.
Be a trick question.
Come on,
it's
got to be China. Did you watch Mulan?
Well, that did it for me. And the correct answer is China.
I would have never gotten it.
Boy, Mulan, but I got pulled into it. I would have never thought of that.
The Asian guy said that, everybody.
What was the record-breaking number of visits at Yellowstone National Park recorded in July 2021, which I'm sure is gone now?
The highest one.
Well, 1 million or half a million?
1 million.
1 million.
1 million.
Yeah,
Yosemite's on a four-hour wait this week.
Dude.
Whoa. Insanity. Okay, number five. Which famous American author penned the novel The Great Gatsby? Which is set in the summer of 22.
Scott Fitzgerald.
Scott Fitzgerald. Yeah, that's right.
Correct answer is, I thought it said Ernest Borgnine. It said Ernest Hemingway or F. Scott Fitzgerald. The correct answer is F. Scott Fitzgerald. What is considered the hottest place on Earth? Death Valley, California, or the Sahara Desert?
Death Valley.
I have been to Death Valley, and that is the correct answer. My daughter's shoes actually melted on the surface of the lake part.
You should not be there then. 125.
It was awesome. No, but you have a panic when you're driving in there and your car temperature says 136. You're like, turn around. No, it was awesome.
You know why they call it Death Valley? I heard it's because a lot of foreigners come and visit, and they drive in there not knowing how big it is, and they die.
They die?
Because they're like, oh, wow, I thought there'd be a station here. And they're like, uh-oh, run out of gas.
Die. Well, there is a hotel oasis in the middle of Death Valley.
It got its nickname from like people from smaller countries coming over and like, uh-oh.
We're going to have to look that up and fact check that on a later episode. In which 2 months are the Summer Olympics usually held? June and July or July and August?
I don't know.
June, July.
I don't know. Say August, the later one.
Yeah.
The correct answer, you never watched the Olympics before, obviously.
I do. But
July and August for the Summer Olympics. Number eight, what is the traditional birthstone for the month of July?
Ooh,
ruby or pearl?
Ruby
pearl. Or pearl?
Sounds like a pearl to me.
Pearl.
The correct answer is ruby.
Bang, bang.
Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Also a famous restaurant chain. Which U.S. city hosts a UFO festival every year in July? Aurora, Texas, or Roswell?
New Mexico.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Of course, it's Roswell.
Of course.
Area 51.
How did I pull that?
What was the most streamed song on Spotify in the U.S. during the summer of 22?
22.
Running Up That Hill by Kate Bush. Or As It Was by Harry Styles.
I'm going to give it to Harry Styles.
I don't know.
Harry. Correct answer is, for you Stranger Things fans out there.
It really bounced back?
Running Up That Hill.
I'm shocked because that song is
Kate
like old.
Bush.
Yeah.
Finally, for your bonus question, what does SPF on sunscreen stand for?
Sun Protection Factor.
Yes.
Is it factor or is it... Skin protection factor.
Oh, skin protection factor.
Yes, skin protection factor.
I'm just going to say
Well, you
one
both
out.
Waffled on your skin answers, and you are wrong.
Dang it. Is it sun
protection?
Sun protection factor.
Sun
protection.
All right, that is our summertime quiz. Probably the fastest one on record.
That's good.
Ben, we bid you adieu.
Hello.
You know my smile about real quick?
No, you know my... I'm always making those up on the spot anyway.
All right, well, then beat it.
It's pretty boring. Love you guys.
Fresh squeezed orange juice. There we go.
Got it.
All right.
I like good microphones.
Goodbye, Ben.
They make me happy.
Have a great time tonight. All right. We are in the home stretch. We're Benless.
We didn't need him.
We didn't need him anyway. Benless. All right. We just have two quick this or that would you rather type of questions, and then we'll move on to things to make us smile. And get you folks out of here early tonight. And thank you for listening. If you listen this far, we really appreciate you. If you had to move somewhere in the same country, where would you move to?
Hawaii.
You had to move somewhere in the same country. Okay, take Hawaii out of the equation.
What do you mean?
Continental U.S.
Continental U.S.
Oh. Yeah, come back to me then. That was my only... I can't leave California.
Okay.
L.A. How about that?
Ooh, man.
I'd move to Los Angeles.
I'd probably go Washington State, somewhere in Washington State.
Okay. All right.
You know, there was an underdog.
Philadelphia? Where are you going?
I don't know if I'd go back to Philadelphia. I love
it. East Coast, though, right?
I love my Philly, but I would, I think I need to go someplace with four seasons, change of leaves. I'd have to live on water.
The Carolinas always sound interesting.
Carolinas in the western side I really enjoy. My parents actually have a cabin in Sugar Mountain.
But forever?
I'd probably go East Tennessee.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Tennessee is pretty.
And then I get the university. I get football. Yeah.
It's home for you.
It's a comfortable shoe.
I was born and raised in Cali. So.
I would like to do 6 and 6.
Yeah.
I would like to do 6 months there, 6 months here.
Oh, snowbirding would be great.
Snowbirding or snowboarding?
You know,
snowbirding.
Looking at the
snowbirding. When you're a snowbird, you live someplace warm during the winter months, and you move back there during the summer months, or you know, you toggle it.
Snowbirding?
Yeah, snowbirding. People on the East Coast snowbird. They live in New York.
I've never heard snowbirding.
They go to Florida.
Snowbirding.
They go upstate New York in the warm months.
Next
and they
one.
Go down to Florida.
A Seinfeld episode. Wow. Snowbirding.
Yeah.
Okay, question number 2. What is your dream birthday party? Ooh. We all spend many hours, many days, years of our lives celebrating our children's birthdays. What is your dream birthday party?
I used to fantasize about Journey playing
really?
For me and like just being the cool, hey, Journey's playing for me. But now, I think in my advanced age, I wish I could just be alone. Like, I'm going to go on my own trip. Oh. By myself and just, you know, have an alone 48 hours. Is that crazy? I'm sorry. Anyway, I'll pass it over to Mark.
You know what would be, now that you're on this isolation track, I would love to fly like business class on Emirates.
Oh my gosh.
And have like just 16 hours of luxury.
Yeah, and then fly back.
Yeah, fly back.
Some warm nuts and free champagne. You know?
Like hot towels.
A bed that lays flat.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Choice of movies.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
No interaction.
Yes.
Yeah, we saw those little suckers on the way to Dublin. I'm like, business class? I'm like, of course, the Griswolds are all next to the toilet in row 74, A, B, C, D, E, and F.
You have to walk by all the rich people on the way.
Yeah,
on
it was brutal. They're all, like, snuggling in their blankets. I would do, and drinking champagne. Meanwhile, like, the drink cart hits me in the shoulder 7 times. Like, some big guy takes a big farty fart in the bathroom, and you're like, this is just a nightmare.
That's awesome.
Right? No, I'm not going to name the airline, but yeah, it was interesting. Or Venice. Maybe I'd like to be on a gondola with my girl in Venice.
Domestic.
All right. Anyway, so that was.
No, you know, I'd probably like to be in the theme park where I'm the only, like, me and my family are the only guests, and I can just walk on every ride.
Nice.
And not have to, like, and then I get fed all the foods I love, and then Journey plays. Why not? But with Steve Perry. I want Steve Perry.
Yeah, Steve Perry.
When you're exiting, so you can have fireworks.
Right.
And then the drone show spells out your name.
Mark, you know.
I don't need the pomp and circumstance. Here he goes. All right, 2 good questions. Sorry, Ben.
He missed out. See?
What do you think Ben's would be?
You know, I'd like to... When I move back to Stockton.
I'd go to an ashram and...
yeah, I'd like to do some yoga in my outdoor shower. And I always spend time with my orange juice and just relax.
All right, coming up next, we'll finish the show with things that make us smile. All right, it's time for the show wraparoo. One bizarre, stupid, consumeristic thing that made me smile. It was Amazon Prime Day.
Oh, man. I tried not to get suckered in, but...
But you bought a mattress.
We went deep, and we bought one of those...
Who buys a mattress?
Expensive. Dude, we like had Casper? To time it between the 4th of July sale and Prime Day, and they overlapped by one day, which was yesterday. So we had to kind of be like, okay... Find the Prime price or the in-store 4th of July price. Oh, and so we ended up getting it and then also going to the store and
what
trying it out.
What kind of mattress did you get?
The purple something.
You did get a purple, huh?
Yeah, we got the purple hex clad something.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, the guy said you spend a third of your life on this thing, so you might as well.
No, I get the yeah. marketing pitch.
Yeah, we know the sales pitch.
10,000 steps is supposed to be healthy for you, too, but that was all a big flaw. Some marketing guy came up with that.
Dude, I'm tired of the aches and pains and the falling off the skateboard. I need a little extra, right. You know, a little cushioning.
You got a mattress that makes you happy.
Yeah.
I got to say our trip was my wife and I have been talking about seeing – well, now we're bit by the bug, but we were talking about spring scene in particular because I'm born in Jersey, raised in Philly kind of guy, and seeing him overseas. So that – that definitely made me happy. Plus, the kids had a ball over there.
Amazing.
So, yeah, that's really all I got on that one. That's things that made me smile. And Amazon Prime. Still haven't got my coffee maker yet. After we're done, I'm going to go hit the Prime up one more time.
Track it.
Mark?
Oh, you know,
ours are very shallow and consumeristic.
No, I'm enjoying the change of pace of the summer schedule to a degree. You know, walking the kids to camp down the long path so I don't get in the fray of that car line. And you know, looking forward to we're taking the kids on one last vacation over the summer after
swim
season's over. We're going a little south of Aptos just for like a coastal, right on the water beach holiday. Just
gonna get a sweatshirt.
I've got plenty. I don't need to buy a sweatshirt, but yes.
Yeah.
It'll be cold. Yeah, I'm sure it'll be cold down there. But
you're going to buy a souvenir sweatshirt, though.
Oh, yeah. Nah. I might buy one of my 8-year-old.
Californians
always
have to remind themselves that they went to California.
My 8-year-old always gets one of those, like Star Wars, you know, the Otters Strike Back. Or he's always getting, like, wherever we go, he's got one from Capitola. He's got one from Bryce Canyon in Utah. Like, I'm sure we'll find him a dumb t-shirt, but you know,
I think that's delightful.
It's fun.
All right, well, it was good having the 4-pack back. Ben's off to Switzer, Hall, Belge,
yeah, something
whatever
like that.
Country he's going to. So
Hobbiton,
it might be the three of us in the fold for the
I just
next
want
one.
Some, just I didn't want him to send me some cheese, all I want
some expensive cheese,
expensive trays, fromage.
Crash singles are terrible. There's so much sugar in the American bread.
All right, thank you to all our listeners. Thank you for everything. Thank you for all your interactions online. Please follow us on the Gram, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and now Threads. Because if we didn't have enough to figure out, Threads is our new jam.
Woo.
All right, we're the Dad Time Out Show, and we're out of here.
Good night. Howdy.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Time Out Show. We're out of here. We've been listening to you talk for an hour.